Welcome to Amplifying Leadership, a place where we talk with guests on their leadership journeys and hear about what they think is key to becoming a great leader. My name is Tara Lehman, and I am a partner, coach, and consultant at Twin Life Coaching and Business Services. For our leadership clients, we support you through this podcast and various leadership growth services. To learn more about our Amplifying Leadership division and our leadership community, please visit us at amplifyingleadership.ca. Today, I am welcoming Shannon Simmons, owner of Fit for Profit, a profit-first bookkeeping and coaching agency. Welcome to the show.
Awesome. Thanks, Tara. I'm super excited to be here.
And I'm happy to have you here. Why don't we start with you telling us a little bit about your leadership and how you got to where you are today?
Yeah, so I actually had to think about this a little bit. This is our 15th year in business, which wow. I think is a huge milestone. Super excited to let everybody know that. But, you know, just reflecting back on, so 15 years, where were you then, right? I did 2 years of public accounting, and so not a lot of leadership there. And the first 5 years in business, I was a solopreneur. So leadership came in the form of working with clients, right? Mm-hmm. And just being a leader for them, but not really in my own business. And then over the course of the next 10 years, we've grown a team that includes now 10 people, including myself. Nice. So definitely lots more leadership experience in the last 5 years. Yes. The first 5 years. But yes, it's all good right now.
Awesome. Well, first of all, congratulations on 15 years with your company. That's amazing. And it's always nice when companies grow and you start to get those people under you, right? That's awesome. So why don't you tell us a little bit about maybe a challenge or two that you had when you have been growing into your leadership role over the years?
Yeah. So I would say one of the two that I wanted to share and talk about, I guess, was I actually stayed a solopreneur and then with one employee for what I would say is too long. I was maybe scared to do that. And there was definitely, in my head anyways, a money constraint around hiring people. And so I really had to get over that in order to really grow. I was pretty much killing my business by taking too much out of it financially. Mm-hmm. So I didn't have money to hire. And then it got to this point where I was like at this juxtaposition, like, do you grow and how do you do that? Or do you just stay where you are? And are you really happy where you are? And I wasn't. So then I had to figure out how to have money to grow. And then right alongside that, I also had a tax bill around year five that I couldn't pay. And as an accountant, that really sucks.
I bet.
You know, like when you go to the doctor and you look at the doctor and you're like, are you really the healthiest person that I would be taking from? And I could hide that from my clients, but it didn't feel good. And so that transparency wasn't there. And as a leader, it just didn't feel good to be telling somebody to do one thing and then not really doing it yourself. So I would say those are the two biggest challenges.
Yeah. And so I want to touch back on the first one that you talk about money and hiring. And so this even goes to large corporations. I mean, I came from a large corporation where budgets were budget and you had a number of heads or people that you could have in your organization for the year. And to go over or under that, you know, you had to justify everything. What are your thoughts around, obviously you needed to hire more people, but you held back. So is there any kind of tip or a thought that you have around when you should actually reconsider the money in the budget, so to speak, for that hire?
Yeah. So, I mean, that's actually a lot of what we do with our clients and the Profit First system. So what I love about Profit First is if you've implemented it in your business, we tell people all the time, set up an extra account. If you want to hire a new person, set up an account and pretend you're paying the salary into that bank account.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Right. And it gives you the confidence that you have the money to hire. It makes you make other changes so that you have the money to hire. And the best part is you don't get emotionally attached to a person in a role when you don't have the money, because that's the worst thing I think that you have to do as a leader is fire people. Right. Nobody likes to do that, or lay them off. But if you hire without the money, then you get into a position where you might have to do that. And so setting up that account and using it to pretend without having that emotional connection is a huge jump and way to make sure you're ready to do that.
And that's an awesome strategy. And I think corporations, large corporations, could take a piece of that and do it as well. You know, so instead of just saying, oh, we have 500 people and next year we're not going to allow growth, put in 502. And if that growth happens for whatever little department you want it for, then the money at least has been budgeted, right?
Yes. Yeah, exactly. It's that planning piece, right?
Yeah.
Planning for growth rather than, you know, oh, now we've had growth. Now what do we do? How do we support the growth?
Yes. And I think a lot of us who've worked in corporate have been there. All of a sudden you grow, you need people, and you're told, oh, sorry, there's no money, right?
Yeah. Well, and that's the other piece behind Profit First. Like it's very much psychologically based. And so as humans, we are wired to spend all the money we have. And this is true for any resource, right? This is why it takes you forever to do a project that you could get done in a lot less time, but yeah. If you have forever, you will. And the same thing's true with our money. And that's what happens when you grow, small or large, you have more money. And so you find ways to spend it rather than remembering that, oh yeah, I'm going to have to hire people in order to support this growth.
And that's an important key piece. Yeah, I think it's remembering, if you're planning for growth, plan for people growth too, because people are who bring you growth. People are your business. Yeah. Regardless if it's your employees or the people who are buying from you, right? It's people centered. Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, very much so. Yeah, that was definitely the piece that held me back.
Yeah, I bet it did. I think that is a key part of just taking that chunk and putting it aside. Any business can do that.
Yep.
When it comes to, you know, communication around things like this, or even for larger corporations or smaller ones who really need to start to communicate to employees that maybe there isn't money, maybe there is money put aside. How can we communicate to be more effective when it comes around the money and the hiring piece? What are your thoughts around that?
You know, I say frequently that money is one of the three taboo topics in our society, death, sex, and money, right? We don't like to talk about those, but really that it not talking about it creates more secrecy than and pain and anxiety and all the negative things that really we could just alleviate if we were open about it. And so I am a huge proponent of it, you know, the short-term pain for the long-term gain. It's not going to be a comfortable conversation. But if you go into it with understanding the impact that you are probably going to have on the people you're talking to and including them in the decision-making process, I think even big corporations can include people in the decision-making process. The earlier you tell somebody, hey, this is what's happening, again, your people are your greatest asset. They have ideas. If you will share with them and then listen to them, that's the key, right? You have to be willing to listen. And that, I mean, there's a lot that goes into that, right? Creating a culture where people are willing to share the negative things as well and not fear negative impact on themselves. But I really do think we have to have the conversations. We have to be willing to listen because the answers are there. And if they're not doing that, you know, still having that conversation, letting people know way ahead of time, giving them the opportunity, and then they feel this shared sense of responsibility. And it's not like it was forced on them that they don't have a job anymore or whatever.
I like that. I like that you also talked about what I call open book, which is open finances, as much as you're possibly able to do. I mean, it was something that when I was in the corporate world, our division would share our divisional profit and loss is, you know, at a level that everybody could understand it, of course. But that way, if there was no profit sharing, there was no question about profit sharing, or there was a lot less of them anyway, right? Or, you know, if we had a really great year, then we could celebrate in different ways. And I think open book can be so, so helpful in people understanding, right? Do you find corporations do that?
It's tough. We have a monthly meeting. We go over the prior month's financials every single month. Anybody's welcome there to be there. I encourage clients to do it. I would say the number of clients who actually do it at the level I do is slim to none. But What I have found is people are starting to become more willing to share it with their key people anyways. And, mostly thinking small business, but even big corporations, the key people usually are in on that. But I think they're starting to see, like, again, sharing that information really is helpful. I rely on my team a lot to tell me, hey, we're not using this anymore. We can cut this expense. Here's a way we can generate revenue. But if they don't know and they don't see the results of that, they're just not willing to share. So there's a huge number of reasons you should do it. And I think more people are starting to see that for sure, but it's still not mainstream.
Yeah, I have to agree. I was lucky. My corporation was very okay with all of that. So your thoughts on then communicating that, because you communicated it and I communicated it in a way that hopefully everybody could grasp enough of it. I mean, financials are something that not everybody gets. So how do you share, some of those things, communicate those things with your team in a way that they can understand? Because everybody's at different levels on money, right?
I think it really does come down to the people that you're talking to and what level of expertise do they have with financials, and trying to figure out what's the lowest common denominator that you can share, and then those who want more being willing to spend extra time with those people and being willing to spend extra time with the people who don't get it yet, are brand new to it, but want to understand. I mean, they really do want to understand. They don't want to sit there in a cloud, right? And so when I first started sharing, especially with my team now, they weren't all very financial savvy, if that's what you want to call it. And we went like line by line. I did not share the whole report, whatever report I was talking about at a time. We would talk about tiny little sections of it, just so that they understood. And there was a lot of education around what that means and what it is. And so I think the key thing, first of all, for a business owner is to be sure you understand it yourself, which is not true for business owners. So to get educated and then be able to share that. And if you aren't educated, bring somebody in to share, that can teach it, has that teacher mentality.
So I want to come back to something you mentioned earlier, which is the cost savings and even efficiencies that everybody else can find. So as leaders, we should be listening to what our employees say. And if we're talking about those cost lines, even personnel cost lines, not necessarily salary, but maybe it's the travel or whatever it is you're willing to share, we can find those efficiencies because they want to get that wage increase or be able to have whatever it is that you're able to offer, right?
And you mentioned earlier too, profit sharing. I'm also a big proponent of that. And for that exact reason, because people will share with you ways they can see to be more efficient if there's a benefit to them. And the benefit is there's more profit if there's less expenses, right? And so, yeah, people absolutely will have ideas if you give them the opportunity, listen, and implement some of them. You can't just like, it can't be an empty listen. You have to
Yes, I
actually do
agree.
something with it.
So I have a question then. When you do this with your people, do you find that it helps you with the whole inclusion piece as well, like people feeling welcome and heard?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's really interesting. Like, my newest team member right now is the one who shares the most, I think. And
That's
I will
awesome.
say we've had a journey of team in the last, I don't know, 2 years. And so the people who have been here the longest had some prior culture stuff that wasn't necessarily the best. But this person has been part of a culture from the very beginning that was very open. And so it to me, it's just a result of all of those culture shifts that she's now willing to share because she doesn't have any of that negative baggage from before. And so yeah, she walked in and within a month she was seeing our profit and loss statement, and it definitely gives her a sense of ownership in the business.
That's awesome. I wish more and more companies would do that because I really do feel like being open door and open book can be help people feel so much more included and heard. And you're right, it can't be blank listening, at least try to put parts of their ideas into place. You may not be able to do them all, Maybe somebody wants a brand new $1 million machine. That's just not going to come to fruition, but maybe there's something there, right? That can help them. So let me ask you this. When you consider all of this and your general leadership as well, is there a definition for you or something to say what effective leadership can actually look like?
Yeah, I mean, I would say I think about having a group goal or a group target, something that we've all agreed is where we're going, whether that's a vision or a mission, it can be just a 3-month goal, I think too. But moving towards that goal, seeing that progress with as little effort, I feel like, as necessary from everybody. You know, what you're willing to put in, but not doing busy work to get there. That's not effective leadership. You know, but having people who enjoy what they're doing and can see that we're moving towards a goal, I think is what I think of when I think of that effective leadership.
Do you see it also as ensuring employees feel like there's growth in some respect as well, not just for the company, but for their themselves?
Sure. Yeah. We set goals company-wide and then individuals set goals. And so, yeah, I mean, it's, a lot of times they're related, but not always, you know, sometimes it is. What are you looking to get? And so I want them moving towards those group goals and yeah, hopefully accomplishing something more for themselves as
And that
well.
personal development. Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
Awesome. So, what can we say is some of those key tips that we should be using in order to lead perhaps with more open door and open book type policies? So, what is it that we can do to help those people feel more welcome, heard, give us those cost efficiencies we all want, by open book or open door or however you see it?
Yeah, I think I kind of alluded to it. It really comes down to the culture that you're creating where people feel safe to contribute in whatever way that is. Because, you know, when we talk about open door, it's not just open door finances. It's open door, how am I doing as a leader? Getting that feedback. It's open door, you know, how are they doing as employees? There's just a lot of open communication. And so I think, yeah, just being willing to have and create being intentional about a culture, right? Because culture happens anytime there are people interacting. And if you're not intentional about it, you may not like the culture you get.
That's where the gossip
You
world comes
may
in.
not be. What was that?
I said that's where the gossip world comes in.
Yeah, you know, I've been a part of some organizations that have, I feel like, luckily fallen into great culture, but I think that's few and far between. You're right. The gossip comes in a lot when you don't have an intentional culture. So I think it really comes down to being intentional about the culture. And then the other thing that I would say is having those systems in place that are going to maintain the culture. And you know, as many, I'm a fan of as many systems as you can find that aren't going to, I mean, you don't want to degrade the people that are working in there, right? And degrade their capabilities and what they're responsible for. But at the same time, that's why I said making it as easy as possible. Like, we don't need to make it hard. Let's find a system.
I would like to touch back on something that you had mentioned, which to me is really, really important, and that is gaining that feedback as a leader. Really, really important. So how do you elicit that? I know some people do one-on-ones, things like that. How do you elicit some of that feedback?
Yeah, I would say two main ways we do one-on-ones. And, you know, I think a lot of times people think of one-on-ones as giving feedback. It is. I do give feedback and give suggestions and improvement and all of that. And ask the question, what can I be doing better? And what can we as a company be doing better? And that's where you have to be really humble. And you have to be willing to listen and just shut your mouth and just listen. And that's, again, I think I said earlier, like, they have to feel safe that there's not going to be any negative impact on them when they share feedback. And so, you know, again, taking some little piece and implementing it or giving them reasons why you can't, but having that feedback is definitely important. So we do that on one-on-ones. We also have just a suggestion box that can be completely anonymous,
Yeah,
even if
love
it's a
that.
virtual one because we're all remote. Because I know there are times that people just don't want to put their name on something. And so it's a virtual Google form, right? That anybody submit something on, and then we talk about it as a group. So those are the two main ways we get feedback.
And I love that you mentioned that when you get feedback, try to do something about it. I think that's really important because you are asking for that feedback. So listen to it, but then also grow from it, right? It's about putting something into place to help yourself grow as a leader. So I love that you touched on that. So thank you for touching
Yeah,
on
you
that.
won't get feedback if you ignore it. You'll
No,
still get it.
exactly. So if our audience was to get that key takeaway, that one thing from you today, what would you say it should be?
Yeah, I mean, I think for me, you can learn leadership if you're willing to learn. Like, I did not have leadership at the beginning, but I am a lifelong learner. I've done a lot of reading and feel like a lot of growing in that realm just because I was willing to learn. So I think that's the big takeaway. Like,
Yeah.
anybody can become a leader, even if you're not already.
Love it. Love it. And I believe in that too. I love that people can grow into leadership in great ways. Thank you so much for quite an insightful conversation today, especially around the open finances. I think that that was a key takeaway as well for me, that more and more companies do need to do what you and I do, right?
Yeah, I was just gonna say too, I think one of the reasons people don't is because they're scared to do it and they don't necessarily enjoy their finances themselves. And that's one of the things that Profit First can help you with. So I would just encourage people, you know, if you're not familiar with the system, grab the book. We have a free training that you can take. And just learn that because that gives you the confidence that we talked about that you need in order to be able to teach other people. So that's the
Awesome.
other takeaway, I guess, I have for you.
Well, thank you so much for joining me today. If our audience did want to reach out or learn more, is there a way they can find you or your business online?
Yeah, I mean, we're on all the socials, Instagram, Facebook, fitforprofit.com is our website. And then, like I said, we actually did a link for you. So fitforprofit.com/amplify, and you can get that training on Profit First if that's something that's interested.
Thank you so much for that. It was
No,
great
for
having
sure.
you on the show.
Thanks, Tara. It was great to be here.
Thank you to our listeners. We both hope that you are taking away some tips today from our conversation. Leaders need to continually grow and develop for themselves and for their teams. If you want support and development, or perhaps would like to join a leadership community, please visit us at amplifyingleadership.ca, a Twin Life Coaching and Business Services division, for all of the details. Until next time, please be safe and be an amazing leader or leader to be.